Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5 carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Mavs fans, welcome to Pod Maverick. I mean, is it even after dark at this point? It is in the morning. It is 12:45 on Wednesday morning after the Dallas Mavericks played the Sacramento Kings on the Peacock NBC late game, which started at the truly horrific time of 10 o'clock, really meaning the tip-off was at about 10:20. The Mavericks eked out a 100-98 win. Josh, how are you?
I'm tired. And this game sucked.
It's one of the worst games.
I can't wait to see the 12-year-olds that get mad because it's like, why aren't you more happy after a Mavericks
won? I've already got a few of them.
That game sucked. That game sucked six ways a Sunday. Props to the Mavericks for figuring out a way to win it. One team had to win it. And the Kings are god awful.
I mean, they're so bad.
Say what you want with the Mavericks. Obviously, the Mavericks don't have a good record, but they have good players.
Yeah. And they're capable of playing pretty good basketball.
Yeah. You know, the Kings don't have anything resembling what the Mavericks did with, you know, that stretch beating Detroit, Denver, Houston. I mean,
I missed the game. I guess it was like six or seven games ago where they lost in Sacramento. And like they just kept rolling out guys. You know, it's like I follow the NBA. I listen to tons of basketball shows. I pay attention, but I don't box score hunt game after game. I don't really look at like the game to game stuff. So I'm not going to lie to people and say that I have watched a single Kings game until tonight. And I had simply forgotten about the sheer number of let's remember some guys ass guards who they kept rolling out. And it's like, I knew DeMar DeRozan was on the Kings. And at some point my brain knew that Russell Westbrook was with them for some reason, but then they have Zach LaVine and then they have Dennis Schroeder. And it's just like the island of misfit basketball guards. And oh my God, what a frightening game.
Yeah. Neither team play like, that was like someone had to win by default. Like neither team did anything particularly well. Both teams shot like crap. Neither team really took care of the ball that well. The Mavericks and the Kings both scored 19 points off of turnovers because both teams were committed to committing as many live ball turnovers as they can, even if the overall turnover numbers weren't like horrific, although the Mavericks had 17, which is a lot. The Mavericks won because they were bigger and they have better players. They had 15 offensive rebounds. The Kings had 8. And I mean, seriously, like the fourth quarter, I don't know how many, like the Mavericks got, I couldn't remember how the Kings couldn't get, they were forcing shots, but like, I, there were stretches where the Kings were just giving up offensive rebound, like in the Mavericks, where you can put back. Like if the Kings grabbed like three more offensive rebounds, they win the game.
Yeah.
That's how dire it was, because the Mavericks weren't making any shots. And then, yeah, you know, Brandon Williams hits a huge, huge shot to win the game. It's only his
a really good shot.
It's a hilarious shot, because the last time he's made one. So he made a 3-pointer on December 12th against Brooklyn. Since that game, he'd only made one more three on Christmas against the Warriors. And then he made one tonight. So he was, Brandon Williams was, that's 8, 10, 11, 10, 9, 10, 11, 12. Brandon Williams was 1 of 15, one out of his last 15 3-pointers before he made that game winner. What, shooting 18% for the season? Like, that's just, and it was a no doubter. Like, as soon as he left his hands, I was like, oh, well, he drilled that. Like, it was nothing but net. So that was hilarious. Like, the Mavericks are hilarious. Like, when they got down 12 in the first half, I mean, you knew like that. You knew it was going to be a close game, right? You knew they weren't going to get blown out. Like,
no, because the Kings. I mean, you're looking at this box score, and look, I don't care. It's 1 in the morning. Jason Kidd is tanking these lineups. Like, there's some fuckery going on right now, and I'm just not interested in it. Play a goddamn guard. We did this for 10 games. It didn't work. I'm tired of watching the Mavericks get down big in first quarters because they're sloppy. They had 7 first quarter turnovers again. 7. They finished the game with how many here? Don't know what the team finished with. They finished 19, which is, they finished with 16. So after that first quarter where they finally settle themselves, they have about 3 quarter. Look, I mean, the Mavericks are capable of controlling the ball. And so they get down big early. It was 35-25 after one quarter. The Kings scored 65 points over 3 quarters. The Kings can't score the basketball. They can't do anything. And so it's like, to give up 35 points in one quarter, some of those off of turnovers and off of sloppy nonsense, like, kid needs to stop screwing around with this stuff. Look, I know it's the Kings. Yeah. I don't want to watch Cooper Flagg play point. I don't want to watch Cooper Flagg in the first quarter go stand in the corner while Anthony Davis gets to do his, you know, whatever bumblefuck stuff he feels like doing. We'll talk about his game in a little bit. What a weird, his box score is such a riot. But it's like, I don't want to, like, who wants to watch that? What kind of development is, what is happening there? Why do you think he's doing this?
I think because they had, when they started losing again, they lost, how many did they lose in a row? They lost four in a row. I think, you know, he went to the guard. I think he went back to the double big because their defense has been a train wreck for about 4 weeks. And Williams and Nembhard in particular were getting roasted. So I think he kind of got, I'm armchair psychologist, you know, reading this from outside the room, but I imagine he was getting frustrated at the defense and felt like the only way that they could start getting some stops is by going big again, which is funny because I think it actually makes their defense worse when they play two bigs. And it's funny that, you know, they start the game with two bigs and they give up 35 points to the Kings. And it's the only quarter the Kings really scored any points, because, like, if you're putting Davis and Gafford on the floor together at the same time, one of those guys is chasing someone on the perimeter. One of those guys is getting drawn out and stretched away from the rim and not doing what they do best, which is standing near the paint and blocking shots. You don't want Gafford closing out to three-point shooters. You don't want Anthony Davis closing out to three-point shooters. And I believe Sacramento made, I don't know how many threes they made in the first quarter, but that was the quarter they made pretty much all their threes. I think they made 6 threes in the first quarter, and then they finished the game at 9. Because it's easier to get open threes when you're playing against 2 7-footers that can't rotate and can't close out to shooters. You know, it's kind of funny because I think he's doing that because he's frustrated with teams picking on Williams and Nembhard defensively. But I think the answer is you could not start those guys, but you could still just start Davis at center. And maybe you do, you know, obviously PJ being hurt makes this difficult. So if PJ's hurt, you know, do Cooper, Clay, Christie, Najee, Davis, and you're still big and you're not, you don't have a weak link, you know, 5'10 guard on your defense, but also, you know, you're still playing a normal, you know, modern NBA lineup with proper spacing.
Yeah. Just something else. Just something else to watch, because it's the Kings are, again, they lost their previous five games by 24.6 points per game. They are awful. Awful.
Yeah, awful.
So,
yeah, I mean,
if you're like, if you're happy,
no one should be high stepping to the end zone.
Oh, I'm getting a lot of that right now, which is fine. Like, again, I celebrate the wins. If you want to celebrate the wins, it's fine. Yeah.
You don't need to be shitty and be like, I told you so.
No, the clutch time shit was great. Cooper scoring in clutch like that move over Westbrook, who was way overbodying him and trying to punk him basically, and Cooper just sort of casually spins off him, regains his balance, and hits another lefty hook. That was amazing. That was amazing. The way there was enough fun stuff from this game to where if you want to celebrate it, go ahead. I find myself frustrated because the Mavericks should have won by 24.6 points in this game. Like, they should have. And if you're in the I want them to win as much as possible, like, I just still have a cadre of fans who think that the play-in is a good idea. Sure, I can't control that, and I'm not going to tell you what to think. I don't really want to watch them get killed by the Thunder in the first round. That doesn't sound that fun to me, but you know, it's neither here nor there. But this game is just, it's just weird. You know, I don't even really know how to talk about this one, because it was just so freaking ugly. And it starts and kind of ends with criticisms of stuff, because the Mavericks should have played and won a lot better. They did win. So if you're looking to take away the bright side and just say, all right, I'm glad they won, I want you to talk about the good things from this game. Najee Marshall's fourth quarter. Let's talk about the good things first. Najee Marshall's fourth quarter, with the exception of shanking those two free throws, that was pretty rough. But his you know, he scored most of his points in the fourth quarter. I think 9 of 15 in the fourth. Pretty impressive. What else?
I mean, Cooper was awesome. We haven't really talked about Cooper, you know.
Was he awesome? Because I don't know if he got the chance to be awesome. Like, I was going to criticize.
He had 28 and 6 with one turnover. That's 28? Awesome. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and one turnover. That's pretty awesome.
That's
I know it's the Kings, but still, I mean.
No, the shot making that he did do, like, there's a couple of great transition buckets. If anything, I felt myself frustrated by his lack of opportunity in this game. And that's the thing that I don't understand. That's not
changing till the trade deadline. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very similar to what Luka was going through his rookie season when the Mavericks had Harrison Barnes and Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan. Like, remember that before they got traded?
Like, but I don't like.
It's not malicious. It's not like they're trying to freeze him out. It's just it's Anthony Davis. He's gonna take the most shots. He's the all-star, all-NBA guy. Like,
well, and like, you know, Davis, like, let's just talk about that while we're here. Let's go to a quick break and then we'll talk about Davis. All right, guys, thanks so much for watching the show. If you're watching this one live, you're a true lunatic. Value your opinions. And if you want to support the show in any meaningful way, you can do so by listening to the ads. That's really the best way. There's also some links in the notes if you're at all interested in doing that. We're gonna put some ads in and then we will be right back. All right. Thank you so much. If you haven't subscribed to the show and feel interested, we record after every game. I'll stick around for the secondary show if anybody really wants to fire off takes about this one. I'm up. Like, I'm not going to get more or less tired. So if you'd like to all run a Mavs party, and if anyone wants to talk basketball for, you know, to 20 minutes or a half hour, I certainly don't mind. So stick around for that one. And we'll see if anyone is interested. They may not be, because again, 1 in the morning. Okay. So I want to talk about the Davis thing just right now, because I'm very frustrated by it. If Anthony Davis makes two more shots, this isn't a basketball game. Like, the Mavericks find a way to break it open. Like, again, his numbers are a riot. He's 19 points, 16 boards, 2 assists, 2 blocks. But he also shot 7 of 23 from the floor, and I don't think he made a jumper.
No, he took 6 jumpers. He missed all of them.
So, okay. So that means six jumpers, 0, you back that out.
0-5. He was 0-5 from mid-range, 0-1 from three.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
He was one of nine in the paint outside the restricted area.
He had I don't want to be too critical, because I don't think he was off in that area. I thought he was a little soft sometimes, but he was off. He was not.
Five mid-range jumpers is way too many for him, though.
Okay, for the five mid-range ones.
Like, what about, he doesn't need to be taking five mid-range jumpers. I mean, okay, he's not good at them. Like, why would you take five of them? I get maybe a couple here or there, but he should not be taking six jumpers. You know, three, five mid-rangers. That's a lot.
But I'm so critical of the guy. I'm trying to find a way, because I don't want to be like, just play better. That was
one of his worst games since he's been traded here. I mean, that's kind of what happened. You don't have to pretend that didn't happen. I mean, that's what happened, because he was also pretty bad defensively for a lot of stretches. Like, he wasn't guarding well.
Well,
he wasn't getting back on defense. His transition defense was lackadaisical.
The emblematic play that stood out was right before halftime, where the Mavericks turned the ball over. The Kings push it up the court and they score. They feed it to Davis, who had not tried to get back on defense at all. It's fine. Sort of. I hate it. Whatever.
Yeah.
they feed him the ball at half court, only for him to smoke the layup. Like, he got defended. And it's just, that's the sort of thing where I'm like, come on. Like, we killed Luka for this stuff. So he's got to eat it too. And he's a good defensive player. That's what I think is still driving me crazy. It's just like, there's times tonight where he was not there, and it didn't bite the Mavericks tonight. But if we would have come in here and the Kings would have lost, we'd be roasting him, because he would have been the guy. But they got away with it. And
yeah, if he would have played like this against Houston the other night, they would have lost that game by a billion points. Mm-hmm. They were able to get away with it because the Kings. Are the Kings the worst team? Like, I know they're record-wise they're not, but man, that they might be the worst team in the NBA to me.
This is a fun comment. All right, so we got a comment from Bro. This is the worst AD has shot in his last nine games. Other star players have all off nights, and you don't say a word. Well, number one, I don't cover other teams, so I don't know why I would talk about other players. He's the best player on the Mavericks team, so I'm issuing criticism against the Mavericks' best player. That's how that shit works. I ate Luka's lunch whenever he was shitty, and I can just tell people forget that stuff. It's fine. I mean, death threats for being critical of Luka. Come on.
When AD plays well, we say, we don't say he doesn't play well. I mean, he played great against that Houston. Did you do the Houston game?
I followed it, even though you told me to go to bed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, he was great in that Houston game.
Yeah,
he was bad in this game. And the score. Anyway. You can't talk about this game without talking about how poorly he played, because that's part of why the score was what it is. If he played better, they would have won by 12 points.
That's what I led with. If he would have scored maybe two more baskets, I think they blow this game wide open. I mean, there was a lid on the basket for half the team. The Mavericks shot 41% from the floor. Yeah, Brandon Williams being like just pushing the pace in the fourth quarter was really kind of what got things going for the Mavericks, finally just really taking it to them. Just lots of all like very funny stuff in the shooting on this one. Max Christie kind of had his first bad game in a while. Caleb Martin continues to get hilarious minutes. I don't understand it, but he's finished a plus one. So that's something. Klay Thompson died on the vine tonight. You know, the Ryan Nemhard minutes were weird. Like, I don't really understand why he wasn't playing. Do you think it's just like, is this experiment?
That was weird. I think it was weird because in the first half, his minutes were by far the best the team played. And it's not always plus in game plus minuses doesn't always tell the story, but
yeah,
the offense was doing better when he was on the floor. And then he didn't check in the second half until like the start of the fourth quarter, which just felt kind of odd considering his minutes were the bright spot of the first half, that they were down 12.
Right.
I don't know. I think if we take everything at face value, because, you know, people are telling me that he's doing all these weird lineups because he's tanking. And I don't want to talk about that, because that's just too much speculation for me. Like, it's like, sure, but like, I can't, okay, he's tanking. Like, I don't know. There's just nothing to say. Like, it's just, it's a fun conspiracy theory, but it's
no, there's
in
there's
terms of us talking about the games. I don't want to like talk about
that. No, I just it when it affects the score in ways where it's just like, oh, if they play a point guard, it's like it's such a dumb thing. It's like, oh, if they just played a point guard, and really, okay, if you don't want to play a point guard, just don't play Gafford, Lively, and Flag together. Okay, like play somebody else, play another like wing-ish adjacent one. Yeah.
And PJ being out hurts that. So I wonder if that makes a difference. But yeah, I think Kidd, if we take him earnestly, that he's trying to do what's best for the team, which we should.
Yeah.
I think he's just in a rock and a hard place where he knows the only times that they can have consistent offenses with one of those guards on the floor. But I think it also he knows, well, this also kills our defense. So I think he's trying to find some sort of balance where he can still get that good defense and still play these guys because they have to play. They have to play. He's not playing D'Angelo Russell. Like he's obviously pretty fed up with him. But you like if you don't play these guys, like you're not scoring. You're just not. But then also the catch 22 is when he plays these guys, like, you know, they can give up some big runs because of defensive lapses and because it's easier to pick on those guys. So I think that's why I think that's why it looks and feels weird, because I think he is struggling with how do I balance this so that my defense is still good, but we still score points. Cause it's like, it's a catch 22. They're just so limited defensively. Those two guys, despite how hard they play, and you know they give the effort. It's just when you're 5'10", like you're 5'10". Like,
yeah, that's
hard.
I mean, and they were
unless you're Chris Paul, like you're just gonna struggle.
Well, like in Anthony Davis, obviously can fix a lot of that. In that it's just him sort of being paint adjacent seems to freak teams out a little bit. I will say, for as critical as I was of Davis, his. Russell Westbrook trying to take a step back three to win the game over him might have been the funniest thing I've seen this year.
Oh, yeah. The Kings' final possessions were just – I mean, it's such – I mean, that sums up the difference in the two teams. Like, the Mavericks executed their set, got Brandon Williams a wide-open three, did what they wanted to do, and then the Kings' response was like freaking, you know, clown car, you know, sideshow Bob stepping on all the rakes, then they get the ball back, and then Westbrook shoots that shot, and then their final shot with 3 seconds left is DeRozan shooting a
Davis was like Davis three. Was everywhere that last possession because he guarded he guarded DeRozan all the way down the lane, and DeRozan was like, oh shit, like you could tell that was and I mean second to last possession, sorry about that guys.
Yeah.
And then I'm sorry, like that. Because, you know, it seems like the Lakers exiled Westbrook out of Los Angeles. And they were all pretty, and Davis was on that Lakers team. And so it's like, and Russell Westbrook seems to take all that stuff very personally, which, you know, I don't want to read too much into it. But there was 6 seconds left on the shot clock when he heaved that thing.
I mean, we've watched Westbrook enough. When he caught the ball and started dribbling backwards, I went, oh, he's shooting. He does that a lot. It's like his signature. That's one of his signature moves. I feel like when he catches the ball inside the 3-point line, he kind of just starts dribbling backwards. I'm like, oh, he's going to.
And they just sort of, and that's where Davis was very effective because he did the I'm just going to shut down this whole portion of the floor. And he caused the entire Kings thing to panic because they really weren't interested. And I get this. The Kings guards really weren't interested in passing to the French guy, Maxime Reynald. And then there was the other big guy who I had legitimately never heard of, Dylan Cardwell. And it's like those guys would pop on screens and they didn't even get looked at. So that was just the whole game. I mean, it was, I think I'm so frustrated because I kept waiting for the Mavericks to absolutely blow the doors off the Kings, and it didn't happen. And if we're in like this tanking adjacent position, because the Mavericks are, I'm pretty sure they're still 12th in the West, even after this win tonight, maybe they're 11th, whatever. You know, it's like two or three losses put you back. Like, the season's so long. I'm not really interested in ping pong ball watch yet or anything like that.
They're 11th, but they're still three losses behind Memphis for 10th.
And that's, and at this point in the year, that's makeable. Like, you can make up that ground, but it's also, it's just the way the Maverick, like, again, they're not, they lose more than they win. So it's like, at some point you have to win more than you lose to make up some ground here. And it's like, if they're going to win one, I want to see them beat the hell out of somebody for once, which they just haven't done. 28th clutch game, which is an incredible statistic. Or they lose, and then it's like, okay, well, they lose, and we can kind of, you know, project ourselves and talk about some of these guys that were playing great college ball tonight, because there were some incredible college basketball games tonight, if you watch that. Anyway, it is what it is. Like, I really think I'm just cranky, and, you know, I get the same people that respond to my tweets, and it's like, and I shouldn't give a shit, but I'm just tired. Got anything else?
I'm not really. I just that was just a bag. It was fun in a morbid, you know.
I mean, the clutch minutes were fun. Like the last,
because then they started making, all of a sudden they started making shots.
But a night like 100-98 is a 1997 ass basketball score. Like, it just doesn't happen anymore. So. No. Oh, well. All right. I'll let you go. We got stuff in Mavs Moneyball if you guys want to read it. I'm going to hang around here just to see if anybody wants to talk anymore or yell at me. I don't really care. I mean, one thing, I want to encourage everybody this. Like, I like talking basketball. You can don't have any fear of getting to an actual argument with me, because it's basketball. We should argue about basketball if we all agree to be boring. That's the fun. So just, you know, consider that, and we'll be back. Who do they play next?
Gosh, I just had it up.
Hold Jazz.
On. Yeah, that's. Oh yeah, this is their soft baby diaper portion. They're, yeah, because they play
the Jazz three times in six games.
No, they play their next three are Utah, Chicago, Brooklyn,
Denver.
And they play Denver, with everyone hurt. Yeah, they could be.
God, that'd be funny.
Yeah, they could win one, two.
They're like three games under 500 or something.
They could win five of their next six games and be what they would be 19-24. They could be 19-24.
They're definitely beating Denver again, because they beat the record against Denver and what'd you say? Denver and the Rockets is 4-1.
Yes,
which means they're 10-22 against the rest of the league. It's really funny.
Yeah, they've beaten Denver, Houston, Detroit, but they've lost to Sacramento, New Orleans, Washington.
God, that's funny.
It's a very, very silly season.
All right, you go forth. We'll talk soon. Okay. You have a good one, okay? Guys, yep. Hang around for Mavs Party. We'll be right back.